This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
FM News Talk 97.1. Podcast. FM News Talk 97.1.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Come on, turn the radio on a Saturday, and I won't be long.
Don't get me wrong, I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Good to be with you. Great to have Thomas Helbig in studio with us again. If you were listening and you want to get involved, space is limited and these seats fill up fast. 855-755-1555. Online at retirementkey.com. The president is with the president of Brazil in the Rose Garden, and they're taking questions now from the press. Let's listen in.
But we really haven't done the really tough sanctions yet. We can do the tough sanctions, and all options are open, so we may be doing that. But we haven't done the toughest of sanctions, as you know. We've done, right down the middle. But we can go a lot tougher if we need to do that. But it's a very sad thing. We're not looking for anything other than taking care of a lot of people that are starving and dying in the streets. What's happening there is a disgrace. This was one of the wealthiest countries in the world. And all of a sudden, it's grief-stricken, poverty-stricken, no food, no water, no air conditioning, no anything, no power. For a long time last week, no power. And that's going to break down again because it's being held together by threats. So it's very sad, Roberta, very sad to see. Okay.
May I ask President Bolsonaro? President Bolsonaro, are you open to the idea of allowing a U.S. base or U.S. military personnel, a military presence in Brazil to provide support on the border with Venezuela? And is that something that you talked about with President Trump today?
Yeah, we have discussed the possibility of Brazil becoming a great allied extra NATO. Recently, we requested that food was sent through Boa Vista, the capital of Roraima State, through our friends from America, so that humanitarian aid was provided to Venezuela. At this point in time, this is where we stand. So for as much as it possible for us to do together to sort out the issue of the Venezuelan dictatorship, Brazil will be more than willing and ready to fulfill this mission and take freedom and democracy to that country, which up until recently was one of the wealthiest countries in South America. But nowadays, people are starving to death. They are suffering violence, lack of medication. It's something terrible that's going on in there. And we need to put an end to this issue, which is pervasive to the whole wide world.
Mr. President, please.
Boa tarde, presidente. Simone Iglesias da Bloomberg.
Hello, Simone Iglesias from Bloomberg. I would like to know if the U.S. actually have a military intervention in Venezuela, what's the position of Brazil? Well, there are a few issues that if you speak, they're no longer strategic. Therefore, these reserved issues, which may be discussed if they have not yet, will not become public, evidently. I remember on a debate here in the United States when a candidate asked another candidate what he would do to fight the Islamic State. He said, if I say, I will no longer be able to beat it. So it's a matter of strategy. For everything that we discuss here will be honored. But unfortunately, certain pieces of information, if are to come to the table, may not be debated publicly. President Trump, regarding the military intervention, do you think about this possibility
of
fighting Venezuela to remove Maduro from power?
So, as I said, all options are open. I think of all possibilities, all options are open. We'll see what happens. And by the way, I see in the audience the son of the president, who has been fantastic. Would you please stand up? The job you've done during a very tough period of time is just fantastic. And I know your father appreciates it, that I can tell you. Okay, thank you very much. Fantastic job. Sagar Enjedi from Daily Caller. Sagar.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President. Two questions for you, sir, if I may. The first on the 2020 election. There's a growing number of Democratic candidates who have endorsed the idea of adding seats to the Supreme Court. Is that an idea that you would entertain in the remainder of your term or possible next term, or is that not something that you agree with?
No, I wouldn't entertain that. The only reason is that they're doing that is they want to try and catch up. So if they can't catch up through the ballot box by winning an election, they want to try doing it in a different way. Now, we would have no interest in that whatsoever. It'll never happen. It won't happen. I guarantee you, it won't happen for 6 years.
Another question for you on social media. You tweeted in support of Congressman Nunez's suit against Twitter. There's part of a larger discussion that Senator Josh Hawley's been leading about making social media companies liable for the content that is on their platform, which they're not currently. Is that an idea or a change in law that you would support?
Well, we have to do something. I tell you, I have many, many millions of followers on Twitter, and it's different than it used to be. Things are happening. Names are taken off. People aren't getting through. You've heard the same complaints. And it seems to be if they're conservative, if they're Republicans, if they're in a certain group, there's discrimination and big discrimination. I see it absolutely on Twitter and Facebook, which I have also, and others I see, but I've really focused more on the one platform, and I have many many different platforms. It's, I guess we have 60 million, almost 60 million on Twitter, and if you add them all up, it's way over 100 million people, and I get to see firsthand what's going on, and it's not good. And we use the word collusion very loosely all the time, and I will tell you there is collusion with respect to that, because something has to be going on. And when you get the back office statements made by executives of the various companies, and you see the level of, in many cases, hatred they have for a certain group of people that happen to be in power, that happen to have won the election, you say that's really unfair. So something's happening with those groups of folks that are running Facebook and Google and Twitter. And I do think we have to get to the bottom of it. It's very fair. It's collusive, and it's very, very fair to say that we have to do something about it. And if we don't, you know, the incredible thing is that we can win an election, and we have such a stacked deck. And that includes networks, frankly. You look at the networks, you look at the news, you look at the newscasts. I call it fake news. I'm very proud to hear the president use the term fake news. But you look at what's happening with the networks, you look at what's happening with different shows, and it's hard to believe we win. But you know, I'll tell you what it really shows. The people are smart. The people get it. They'll go through all of that, whatever it is they're fed, and in the end, they pull the right lever. It's a very, very dangerous situation. So I think I agree. I think something has to be looked at very closely.
Thank you, sir. President Bolsonaro, and another question on the 2020 election. If a number of the Democrats who are running to replace the president have embraced or have considered socialist ideas, you've spoken critically of that in the past. If a socialist or a candidate who embraced socialism were to replace the president, how would it affect your relations with the United States?
É assunto interno, respeitaremos o resultado das urnas em 2020, mas eu acredito piamente na reeleição de Donald Trump. O povo que o apoiou no passado, assim como foi feito comigo no Brasil.
Eu concordo. I can't handle this.
Repetirá
I'm trying. We can listen in.
That I feel like the rest of the day I'm going to hear this translator.
The translator
in the background.
Makes you crazy.
She's making me nuts.
She's doing a great job.
I can't. Yeah. No, she's fantastic.
I barely hear her when the president's talking. When he's talking.
Did you have your headphones on?
No, I was listening in here though. Same thing. Well,
it was interesting to listen to the president.
I would say that most of the listeners aren't listening with headphones on.
True. I wonder how they feel about it.
I wonder if Beto O'Rourke is listening.
Shut up.
If he's listening with his headphones on.
No, but I bet Beto O'Rourke is. Are you still listening to this? You keep listening
I'll
to
keep
this.
Keep an eye. Okay.
And tell me if we need to go back. But it's easier to listen when one person is talking at a time.
That was interesting to hear. I was not aware that Josh Hawley was leading the effort to hold social media companies.
He's been very active when it comes to social media, you know, the control that they have, the security that they offer, the information that they gather. Which I think is interesting, especially, I mean, Josh Hawley is in his mid-30s, late-30s, I think.
Yeah.
And was it Google that they were questioning? No, it was Facebook or Twitter, that the senators were questioning and asking questions about how they, like, make money. I don't understand this business model at all. Yeah. And they're like, we sell ads.
Yeah. That was that was Orrin Hatch.
Yeah, it was not a good look.
Like, tell me how this works. That was when Zuckerberg was there. What kind of business plan? And he's talking to, like, the richest guy in the world. And he's questioning his Facebook business plan. Where you don't charge your users. And Zuckerberg pauses and goes, Senator, we run ads. Like, wow.
Obviously.
Yeah, that's not going to happen to Hawley. He's 39.
So, I mean, there's...
But to hear that he's leading the effort to have social media companies held accountable for what their users post, I'm not sure I agree with that, but it's interesting. I'm not sure. I know that I don't agree with that. But it's interesting to see how engaged and involved he has been since getting there. I think a lot of people thought he would lay back for a couple of years and kind of... watch the way things were done and then start getting involved. But he's head first.
Well, when you think about the makeup of the Senate and the experience that it pretty much requires to be in the Senate, it is an interesting thing about any workplace. I would imagine anybody who has a business, especially when it comes to the importance of digital presence and the way you use the digital world to further your business and to compete on a level playing field with other people who are in your industry, it's important to understand how to speak that language. And it is just a lot harder to speak it when you didn't grow up with it or use it in your professional life. I mean, I remember life before the internet. We got internet in my house when I was in, like, eighth grade, I think. So my childhood... You know, when you listen to, you know, Glover talks about his childhood all the time. It's something that he talks about frequently on the Glover Show after this show. And we rode our bikes all over the place. And I played in the creek and stayed out until dark and sometimes even later. And, you know, we went outside and played. We had eight channels. 2, 4, 5, 9, 11, 30, and then a fuzzy 24. That's 7 channels. That's what I had. I think it was DSS. Was that what it's called? DSS? Was that a cable, a satellite provider, I think?
That sounds familiar.
Yeah. Like, I think maybe DirecTV ended up buying them or whatever. But I remember when we got that in, and it was, like, overwhelming, the amount of channels that we had. And I didn't have that as a kid growing up. I didn't have the internet. I remember sitting there waiting for a dial-up connection to be made, and it was super exciting when it happened, and then it was extremely slow afterwards, but you had time. So I understand the difference between that, and that's in my lifetime. I'm 34 years old, so if you're Orrin Hatch or somebody else who's in their 70s, I mean, what is Joe Biden's, like, 78 years old right now? He wants to be the president of the United States?
Yeah.
I'm sure he understands the value of digital awareness and education, but he's taking people's word for it. He's not the guy who understands the ins and outs of it. What are you laughing at?
I looked up DSS.
And?
And the first thing that pops up is an article
in
the chi- in the Chicago Tribune that says DSS finally arrives with all 150 channels.
Holy cow, 150 channels.
It's from October 7th, 1994.
There you go. Yeah, I think we...
That's so funny.
We got it in middle school.
I remember we got our VCR for the first time. I was elated.
Did you record things?
Yeah, I did then.
Mm-hmm.
We'd record movies all the time.
Do you remember the like fade over time when you'd watch a movie for a long time, like how the quality of the movie would dissipate over the VHS? I had a lot of Disney movies on VHS.
Oh, yeah. Fast forward through commercials.
Yeah. So
if you
cool.
taped them off of TV.
I remember watching ER on the tape that we would record because we'd have Thursday night volleyball games and basketball games. So you'd tape it and then you go back and you just hope that the thing clicked to record when it was 9 o'clock and ER was going to be on or whatever else we recorded at the time. When I was growing up, my dad recorded the Rush Limbaugh TV show. I was a Rush baby. I know he's on.
That's funny.
Is he off right now?
I don't know.
Don't even worry about it.
Right.
Don't check. Stay here with me.
Check.
It's interesting when it comes to talking about digital presence. This is according to an Axios report that I have today. They say while 2020 Democrats suck up national attention, Trump's reelection campaign has quietly spent nearly twice as much as the entire Democratic field combined on Facebook and Google ads. Trump is outspending the top spending Democrat candidates, Warren and Harris, 9-1 in total advertising on Google and Facebook so far. And according to them, why it matters is political advertising strategists say that this level of spending on digital platforms this early in the campaign season is unprecedented.
Mm-hmm.
So, Trump,
that doesn't surprise me.
Trump campaign gets it.
Yeah, they get it. That's exactly right. It's not the traditional way to spend your campaign dollars.
Mm-mm.
You usually do it with television and radio commercials, and those work great. But people have ignored social media. That was one of the biggest credits to the Obama campaign.
That campaign
was like the very first one that
they
ever
used
really used. Yeah,
and
social
YouTube
media.
Wasn't even like a real legit thing right. when they started doing this. The Trump campaign digital presence led by a guy named Brad Parscale. His home field is analytics and audience targeting. And this is according to a senior member of the Trump 2020 team. They say, we have an experienced team still together from 2016, but most of all, we have Donald Trump, and nothing scales and converts like Trump. So you have to have a good product if you're going to hawk it on the internet, no matter what you've got.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be a quality product. So the other thing that they point out here is that they suggest that Trump's digital sophistication was one of the most overreported stories of the 2016 election, and that his Trump's digital head start in the 2020 cycle is one of the most underreported stories. It is sort of a new age grassroots way of doing things on a person to person connection in your Facebook feed, through Google ads. The other thing is you're able to get an ad served to you where you can click on it and it'll take you right to a donation button. And that's power. Money,
mm-hmm.
money talks for
mm-hmm.
sure. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, Mark Cox is going to join us and weigh in on what the president had to talk about today. And also I'm going to ask him about the Roy Blunt conversation. He had one last week with Roy Blunt. I had one as well that same day. That was exciting that Senator Blunt came on our station twice in one day. But he seems like he's going to have a lot to answer for with Missouri voters. Mark Cox coming up next.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And I said, he's not worth it. It got your attention. I've been saying this for 2 years that he shouldn't be impeached. But when I said he's not worth it, then it got the press. And what he's not worth, is the financial stability of America's working families, and that's what we're trying to correct. And when the time comes, we'll see.
Not interested in impeachment, but when the time comes, we'll see. That was from St. Louis, right?
Yeah, and nobody is reporting on that last sentence.
Yeah, and when the time comes,
as
we'll
people
see.
Are clapping, and she kind of turns her head off microphone. Hey, I'm not interested in impeachment. I've been saying it for 2 years. We're not going to impeach him. But when the time comes, we'll be ready.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
we hear you. We see you, Nancy.
Come on.
We see through your silliness and your gamesmanship. Again, I remind you, the reason she's in power is because the folks in San Francisco aren't voting her out. So she can be as crazy as she wants to be. She can be as in your face as she wants to be. She can be as non-existent as she wants to be. Because as long as San Francisco keeps putting her back, maybe they don't want her back in San Francisco. As long as they keep putting her back in Washington, D.C., she's untouchable. All these people who got elected, oh, you got elected in a Trump district. That's important to them to make sure that they understand that there are people in that district that probably also support the president to an extent as well. They got to worry about every move they make, every word they say. Nancy, not so much.
I'm very consistent. I'm a very stable genius.
I just want to say to the men of this country, just shut up and step up.
Mark Cox of the Mark Cox Morning Show, weekdays 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. right here on 97.1. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Annie, how are you?
Good to talk to you. What do you think about Nancy's little visit here to St. Louis?
Is she gone?
I think so.
Oh, good.
She didn't let me know. Do you think that Nancy Pelosi is going to be eager to lead a charge of impeachment against the president, or do you buy what she said, that President Trump's not worth it?
Well, you know, I think that she, like many of these other liberals, have reached the conclusion that they're not going to have what they need from Mueller, and these other investigations they've launched are just fluff for 2020, I think. So it's just, I think it's cover. I don't think they really have any interest in starting impeachment, because she's learned the lesson of history, and she knows the Republicans suffered when they tried it with Clinton.
Yeah, I mean, people need to pay attention to what happened in the 1990s, because the effort to impeach Clinton was on almost like an ancillary detail where he did something that was wrong, but it wasn't really at the heart of the issue of what the Republicans were trying to do. And the American people, I guess they just got sick of it. They weren't interested in going that far down the road with Republicans. And as I understand, the Republicans paid for it.
They did pay for it in the midterms. You know, the Democrats have shifted their attention to 2020, as you can tell from Beto and Elizabeth coming out this weekend with their speeches and calling for what did Elizabeth Warren call for yesterday? She wants to end the Electoral College.
Yeah.
Because, you know, bear in mind, she was supposedly a law professor, right?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, this is her talking about that.
Yeah.
Hold on a second here.
Presidential candidates don't come to places like Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They also don't come to places like California and Massachusetts, right? Because we're not the battleground states. Well, my view is that every vote matters. And the way we can make that happen is that we can have national voting, and that means get rid of the Electoral College and
Mark, Tony is shaking his head in disgust at me. What do you think when you hear
that this issue is just a hot button for me? It just makes me so mad when, especially when she says politicians don't come to Mississippi. Well, guess what? If you get rid of the Electoral College, they're for sure not coming to Mississippi.
They would never come to Mississippi.
Jeez.
or Missouri or any other small state in
right.
the country. Yeah, the most infuriating thing about it is her belief somehow that she's smarter than the founders of this country who realized full well that the power centers of America, the population centers, I should say, of America, particularly when the country was founded, there was a serious concern about whether or not the states would remain united. And she knew the minute one of them felt like their voice was not being heard in Washington, that's what would happen. They would start to splinter. So to avoid that, they made sure that every state got represented in elections for president. They did it for a reason, and it's even more valid today when you've got cities like New York and Los Angeles that equal you know, twice the population of the entire state of Missouri.
Isn't it important to remember that we are the United States of America, that states' rights have a very important role in how we do government here? I mean, if you want to federalize everything, you want to talk about consolidating an enormous amount of power away from the American people into a governing body. That's the way to do it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. And, you know, as a representative republic, this has worked very well for us. We have direct elections for Congress, local elections where people in small districts are allowed to represent people who elect people who represent them. That works, but on a national level, that would never work.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, you know, there's no way constitutionally they can do it. So about 11 states, maybe, I may be wrong on that number, state legislators have passed rules now to try to give all of their electors to whoever wins the popular vote. They're not going to be able to pull that off. It's not going to be constitutional.
Mm-hmm.
There won't be enough of them, and there aren't enough of those states to try to pass it as an amendment to the Constitution.
But, Mark, to your point, it's crazy. You're right. It's like 11, 12, 13, something like that, number of states that in one body or another within that state, whether it be that state's House or that state's Senate, has passed this resolution to give all their electoral college votes to the winner of the national election. And some of those states are tiny states. Vermont is one of them. I'm pretty sure Colorado is one of them. I think Rhode Island is even one of them. It's like people are just giving away any power that they have in the presidential election. It's mind-boggling.
Yeah, well, you know, clearly Trump derangement syndrome is real, and it's alive and well and embodied in Elizabeth Warren last night, because the only reason they're talking about this is that they started this movement right after Al Gore lost the presidency to George W. Bush, and then it kind of lost steam, and then it's back full bore now after the last Clinton Trump election, and in this case it's fueled by their hatred for Donald Trump.
Yeah, it certainly is. I want to play this clip for you real quick and get a quick reaction for you. The president was speaking today from the White House, and got an opportunity to speak on John McCain.
Why are you attacking Senator John McCain 7 months after his death?
I'm very unhappy that he didn't repeal and replace Obamacare, as you know. He campaigned on repealing and replacing Obamacare for years, and then he got to a vote, and he said thumbs down, and our country would have saved $1 trillion, and we would have had great health care. So he campaigned. He told us hours before that he was going to repeal and replace. And then for some reason, I think I understand the reason, he ended up going thumbs up. And frankly, had we even known that, I think we would have gotten a vote because we could have gotten somebody else. So I think that's disgraceful. Plus, there are other things. I was never a fan of John McCain, and I never will be. Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you very much. Tip your waitresses. I mean, it's for him to come out and continue to talk about John McCain. A lot of people are saying that John McCain is dead and he was a war hero. You can't talk about him in a negative way at all. But we are finding out that John McCain was not a supporter of this president, not only verbally, but also on background. What's your reaction to the president speaking about John McCain there and what we know now about the senator?
Well, you know, McCain and his supporters, they can't have it both ways. John McCain was a war hero, and I honor John McCain for his service to this country, and I always will. As a politician, he did a lot of things I didn't agree with when he was the presidential candidate for the Republicans. I supported him and I voted for him because he was better than the alternative. But he and Donald Trump were at each other's throat from the beginning of this. I mean, a lot of it had to do with ego, I think, on the part of both of them. Michelle Malkin got in a lot of trouble at CPAC for referring to the ghost of John McCain and blaming him along with Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan and some others for not dealing with immigration and health care when they still had control of Congress. You know, I wish the president would leave it alone, but I'm not so sure he's the one that brought McCain up this last time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it is, it's not something that people can, you know, invoke the spirit of John McCain to slam the president and expect him not to punch back. I mean, that's what this president does.
Right. No, he does, and he's done it successfully. You know, in fact, this morning I played a bite from Jeb, Exclamation point.
Low energy Jeb.
And you know, Jeb now wants somebody to primary the president. Well, of course Jeb does. But Jeb says he just wants to warn people it's very difficult to beat an incumbent president. Well, guess what, Jeb? You couldn't beat Donald Trump when he wasn't the incumbent, when he was just a candidate just like you were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So why he thinks a weak-kneed, middle-of-the-road, spineless Republican is going to be able to beat Donald Trump now fascinates me.
Do you think anyone's actually going to challenge him?
I do.
You do? Mm-hmm. Who do you expect it to be?
I wouldn't be surprised to see somebody jump in. I mean,
Kasich? He's delusional.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me at all.
I mean,
you know, maybe Kasich. There's bound to be somebody who's gonna try. So Evan McMullen or McMuffin or whatever his name is from Utah. Somebody's gonna try.
Yeah.
Jeff Flake has already said he's not, Mark. So yeah, we don't have to worry about that. Thank goodness.
who isn't?
Jeff Flake.
Oh, good. Yeah, that's good. Well, somebody will do it just to try to raise their personal profile for writing a book or something. They know they have no chance.
You know, I brought this up yesterday about Jeb saying that. People don't remember, George W. Bush was caught off guard by Pat Buchanan when he was primaried, and some people have, historians have said that that got that whole campaign off on the wrong foot because he had to focus on Buchanan to get rid of him before he could focus on Clinton. It had a lot to do with why he lost that second race. So for Jeb Bush, whose dad lost after somebody primaried him, and people said that that was a big part of it, to say that a president needs to be primaried because Americans need choice is laughable to me.
Well, in that particular case, it was a little bit different because George H.W. Bush was always a moderate East Coast Republican, and Buchanan was trying to pull him back toward the conservative side a little more in that primary election. Then, of course, Ross Perot played a big role in the outcome, I think.
For sure.
Who knows? It could be this Starbucks CEO who plays a big role in this race if he ends up running.
Yeah. Well, we will see. We'll be covering every minute of the way. It's so far away, but we are going to be talking about it every day. There's always something new to talk about. Mark Cox, thanks for coming on today. Always love talking to you.
Annie, Tony, see ya.
Yep. See ya in the morning, 5 a.m. right here on FM News Talk 97.1. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, let's get to some phone calls. 314-241-9797. 314-241-9797. Do you think someone's going to primary this president? Do you think that there's a Republican who, A, could have any success, B, has the ego to think that it's what America needs? Like Beto O'Rourke, who's born for this? Not to be confused with who?
Beto O'Rourke?
That's what I said. 314-241-9797. 314-241-9797. 866-455-9797. Anybody who wants to call in and tell Tony he's wrong, we'll take those calls too.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Bernie Sanders. I'm running for president.
He was a red hot hoochie coochie. She was the roughest.
Great song.
It is a great song.
Everybody asked, you have to wait for it.
Mm-hmm. Here we go.
It's different than the Blues Brother version.
Cab Calloway.
Yes. And I was.
The
I have
Cab Calloway version. Is
this is Cab Calloway. This is like 1930s.
Is wow.
Yes. This is Cab Calloway. But I had the Blues Brothers version up, but it's Blues Brothers. And I was like, we have to listen to the whole thing to make sure it doesn't
be risque.
Right.
This is like, this to me sounds like record player with the big,
yeah.
I'm going to call it a horn. It's probably not a horn. What is the big thing?
Gramophone. Gramophone.
Is that what the top part that you could make to magnify the?
Oh, the speaker.
Yeah.
The old school speaker.
I think it's a gramophone.
The horn.
I'll go with gramophone. I'll buy a gramophone. I'll buy a gramophone.
I love a record player. I had a good record player. I don't have it anymore.
My daughter got a record player for Christmas.
Is it like
15 years old?
So it's a legit one. It's not like a fancy
she has
Bluetooth.
Records.
I have records. I have like John Mayer albums. Like you can buy almost all it's a
they're making a comeback
niche thing. Yeah,
she does not call them records,
albums.
Nope. I'm gonna take another shot at it.
Discs.
What would you? What do you think the kids
I know what
call?
I know what she calls them.
Go ahead.
Vinyl.
Vinyls.
Vinyls. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Then, yeah.
She calls
yeah.
them vinyls.
That's yeah.
So if you said a record, would she be like, "It's not a record, Dad"?
Oh, they have that new Panic at the Discount, Panic at the Disco on vinyl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The vinyl of the new Panic at the Disco album.
Is it actually
or
vinyl?
Or whatever. I guess.
I mean, like, that's, sure like, to me, is. The thing that, like, originally was vinyl, but now it hasn't been vinyl
and
for...
I'm like, do you mean the record? And she's like, I mean the vinyl.
What's the difference?
Yeah. She does not, like, record is not even in the vernacular at all.
I want to take this phone call here real quick. He's been holding. Rick, thanks for calling the show. Hey, Rick.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead.
Yes, I think the biggest competition for all of the Republicans going forward is going to be voter fraud.
Hmm.
When Obama was reelected, they had busloads going from Wisconsin all the way over to Michigan, voting in states that don't have voter ID requirements. Anybody can vote. New York is a good one. California, how does 110% of registered voters vote? Let me guess.
Yeah,
Nevada,
Rick.
Same thing. 85,000 votes found illegals in Texas.
Yeah, I think going forward, it's definitely always going to be complicated to weed out what's legitimate and what's not. Anytime you put electronic machines and things don't work, you look at what happened in Broward County and that big disaster. So I think voter fraud is going to always be a problem. It's funny because if you ask the Democrats, they would say voter fraud. Also, if you look at, was it North Carolina? I think it was North Carolina. Where there was voter fraud, that they have to redo the election because the Republicans were the ones who benefited from that. So
your state has not a very good record on that either.
My state.
Lots of
my state of disarray.
Lots of
dead
lots
people.
Of deceased people casting votes.
They're very important to us, our dead loved ones,
mm-hmm.
and very important to Democrats as well. It would appear.
Vote early, vote often.
That's what they say. Let's do 20 questions
in Illinois.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You want to do that right now?
Yes.
Check this out. I know. I'm so excited. So you probably don't remember this because we only got a chance to do it a couple times about a year ago before we made the big changes here at the radio station and we moved companies and all that. I had just started something on the YouTube page called 20 Questions with Tony.
Mm-hmm.
And we did one with the last one we did was with Mark Cox. And listeners submitted questions on Twitter or email or however they could get them to me. And anything you wanted to know about Mark, you sent me the questions. I put them all together. We sat down and I asked 20 questions to Mark on video. And you can still see that on our YouTube channel if you scroll back a little ways mm-hmm. in the videos. Well, we are bringing it back. We finally have access again to the YouTube channel. I've been
here.
I know. Really, because on the
lots
Weekend
of,
Report
lots
page,
of stuff has
been
happening.
We used to do videos on the Weekend Report page all the time, and we didn't. And now we just got those going again in the last couple weeks. And now this is going to happen, and we're going to roll it back out. We're going to reintroduce it with 20 questions with Annie Fry.
I can't be responsible.
So tweet me at TonyColombo971. If you've ever wanted to ask Annie a question, it can be very serious. It can be very silly. Nothing is off limits. Tweet me questions that you'd like to have Annie answer over the next week or so. I'll put them all together, and then Annie and I are gonna sit down, and I'll ask all of your questions, kind of long form interview. It is so much fun.
Do I get to opt out?
No. And I'm not going to show you the questions ahead of time.
At TonyColombo971.
Yes.
Only for the nice ones. Be kind to me.
Anything you've ever wanted to ask Annie, you send it to me and I'll ask her.
All right. 314-241-9797. 314-241-9797. Join the show. Phone calls all through 2 o'clock hour. We'll be right back.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget.
Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.